Just before we went on the air, I was talking with Bob just a moment, and I said, hey, I've got about 8 articles I want to talk with you about. He said, yeah, I've got a lot more than that. He said, a lot of things are happening. So, Bob, let's get right underway. Number one, the meeting in Moscow, the summit, I guess they called it, as it relates to the Iranian nuclear situation. That did not seem to go anyplace, did it?
No, it didn't go anyplace. You know, the Iranians have no incentive. Clearly, they would like to avoid some of the sanctions, but they're still selling their oil to China and others. And, you know, they'll survive. It's really a matter of national pride and their hegemonic ambitions in the region. You know, they're not going to give up their enriched uranium, their ability to make not only 3.5% enriched uranium, but 20% enriched uranium, and they're not going to give the International Atomic Energy Agency unfettered access to anywhere and anything they want in Iran.
Well, it's basically that delay action that they've been implementing for years, isn't it?
It is. And, Jimmy, I've been writing about Iran for 40 years. I've seen this stuff a few times before. They're playing the same game. Yeah. They do it very, very well. You know, they went to Istanbul in April, and they said, hat in hand, we're going to be good people. And then they go to Baghdad on the 23rd of May, and they said, you know, we're really going to be good people. And then now they're in Moscow, and they're not as good people as they promised to be.
Yeah.
So this is the reality of working with the Persians. They know exactly what they want. They're going to get what they want because the West lacks the intestinal fortitude to stand up to them and make things happen.
Yeah, they have one record, and they just seem to keep playing that record. It was a similar type of a situation, though, wasn't it, down in Mexico at the G20 meeting? They were there talking about the United States and Russia, and of course I want you to comment about Vladimir Putin and President Obama, the Syrian situation, and the Eurozone talks that seemingly were discussed there as well.
It was almost a comedy hour as far as I'm concerned. I've never seen a worse performance by President Obama. Putin really had to tolerate what was going on in his discussions with President Obama. Yeah, the Eurozone, clearly we're not going to pony up and give them hundreds of billions of dollars, primarily because we're broke. And, of course, the Greek election or decision and their new government that's going to at least stay in the Eurozone, the Spanish problems, the Irish problems, and, of course, Germany's insistence that they're not going to placate people that can't be disciplined enough to control their own economies, you know, it's quite a mess. I didn't really see anything coming out of the G20 except for a bunch of sad faces and, you know, disappointment.
What about, let's go to the Middle East again. What about the Egyptian presidential elections? They've delayed the announcement of the results probably to either today or on Sunday. But this place is going to blow up, is it not?
No, there have already been demonstrations. And, of course, the vote was apparently very close Ahmed Sharafik, who is the former prime minister under Mubarak, and then, of course, Mohamed Morsi, who is the Muslim Brotherhood guy. Now, I suspect there's a deal that's already been made between the Muslim Brotherhood and the military, and that whoever ends up winning will have, you know, brought that particular deal into the new administration, but there's no question that this is going to be far more Islamic than it's been in the past, far more adversarial in regard to Israel, and not very close to the West.
I've got to, so many items I want to talk to you about, Bob. I've got to get to the top secret leaks that ended up in news reports in the New York Times and the Washington Post. I mean, somebody's messing around up there, aren't they?
Yeah, and I wrote about that and said they should go to jail, but given the record of the Justice Department, I don't think anybody's going to go to jail. They don't seem to have the wherewithal nor the seriousness of what they've jeopardized. The whole issue of the Stuxnet, the virus that allegedly was planted in the Iranian centrifuge computers made by Germany and there in Natanz, Iran, and that, of course, caused serious problems for the Iranians. And apparently, according to the New York Times, the National Security Agency was involved in that and a whole host of other things. You know, the entire paper was giving away trade secrets. Then, of course, bin Laden, the White House keeps bragging about that, even willing to compromise SEAL Team 6, which is a top secret operative unit that took down bin Laden. They talked about the kill list that the president runs and personally manages. You know, it's good that he has time to do that. Wish he'd have more time to do some other things, quite frankly. And then, of course, the whole issue about the spy airfields in Africa chasing al-Shabaab, al-Qaeda, Boko Haram, and a number of other radical groups. And then, the latest on the underwear bomber, the newest episode out of Yemen, and how that operation was foiled, but they gave away some trade secrets on that. This is appalling. You can't run international operations by giving away your trade secrets every time something pops up just to promote your president as a guy that's in charge.
Yeah, that is appalling, as you said. I need to find out what is really the truth behind a report coming out of the Middle East that Iran, Russia, China, and Syria have planned the largest war games in that part of the world, I guess, in history. Do you know anything about it, and what's the deal?
Well, I certainly read about it, and I'm paint me skeptical, Jimmy. This is a bad time, given what's going on between the Syrian rebels and Bashir's military, where there are people being killed by the truckloads over there. And to think that Russia, China, Iran, and Syria are going to conduct full-fledged naval operations and land operations, and oh, by the way, they had a MiG-21 that decided to leave Damascus and flew into Jordan the other day, and the guy declared, he wanted sanctuary, and he was granted it. Troubled regime. I just don't see this happening. Now, this could be a cover to, put some of these friendly forces for the Assad regime into ports, into the country, and to make it vaccinated of sorts away from perhaps a Western or even an Arab coalition from going in there to the side of the Syrian rebels and fighting Assad to take down that country.
Bob, speaking of military movement, there are reports also United States is planning significant military presence in Kuwait. What's the word on that?
Well, given that we've out of Iraq, except for a few hundred trainers, and given the volatility of the problem with Iran, which is next door, and the Kuwaitis, we've had a lot of people in Kuwait for many, many years. You go back to 1990 when Desert Shield started and we ramped up to Desert Storm in January of 91. We've had a big footprint. Well, apparently a lot of people in that part of the world, the Gulf Cooperation Council and, of course, the Kuwaitis say, it's fine, you can stay here, we need your extra protection, we need this tripwire. Because hostilities with Iran and, of course, the Iraqis are less predictable. Keep in mind what Maliki is doing, with his own security forces. He's realigning his security forces. In my estimation, he's becoming more like Saddam. And so perhaps we're in the make of a Frankenstein of Iraq.
Wow, Frankenstein of Iraq. Very interesting phrase there. Well, I've almost got my wish list completed. One other item, about 30 seconds, if you will, Bob. What about the Pakistani Supreme Court doing away with the Prime Minister, saying he should not be in office?
Well, of course, Pakistan politics is always interesting. It's a soap opera. And this justice had his own dirty laundry aired recently with his own problems with finances and so forth. This was called a soft coup. It's designed to get rid of the prime minister. It's really targeted at President Zardari because he has a fragile government. And, of course, the military is on the side laughing because it's really the military that runs Pakistan. The others are just jokes in many cases because they really don't have the persuasion and the power of the people. It's the military, which is the institution that runs that country.
And we'll have to stay on top of that story because Pakistan also has the only nuclear weapon in the Islamic world. Colonel Bob McGinnis, the man who keeps us informed on geopolitical activities across our world. Bob, Thank you so very much, my friend. We'll talk again next week.
Well, thank you, Jimmy.